Well, welcome back, everybody. And we had a very interesting conversation about literacy and what that means. But literacy, ultimately, Steve, connects to words.
Right. So we want to talk about the importance of words.
Okay, let's do it.
What is a word?
In linguistics, a word of a spoken language can be defined as the smallest sequence of phonemes that can be uttered in isolation with objective or practical meaning.
Where is my Christian Leaders Institute coffee here? Because I need to wake up right now. I mean, seriously, that feels like heavy.
It feels very academic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so
I'm running and drunk going the other way right now.
Right. So that's the struggle sometimes with academic learning is it always sounds unnecessarily complex, right?
Like a lot of words to say.
It's like,
give me a metaphor.
Why don't you just say something simply? Why all these complex words and so on?
A word. What is a word?
So, but we're both philosophy majors.
Yeah, and
things are actually more complex than we sometimes think.
Right.
And the more you know about something, the deeper it is.
Right.
But until you know it, it seems unnecessary.
Yes.
So anyway, let's look at this. In linguistics, a word of spoken language can be defined as the small sequence of phonemes.
Phonemes
is like phonograph.
Right.
It's really just a sound.
Like a phone.
Right.
iPhone.
Right.
Phone.
It's a sound that you make. And so what this is saying is that linguistics or words are just sounds.
Okay.
And some of them are very simple. A.
Right.
A man went to the store.
Right.
A is just a simple little sound.
Right.
But some words are like compound sounds.
Right.
Story.
Right.
Is now two sounds that we put together.
Right.
Now, what it's saying is we have these sounds and we put these sounds into combinations and we end up calling them words, but really they're just sounds that get connected to things.
Exactly.
So, for example, store. A store is just a building. It has stuff that you can buy.
Right.
And we've decided somewhere in the English language to have the sound store. Starts with a combining all these little sounds.
Right.
And whenever we hear that, we think of a store. But a store could have been called the sun.
Right.
Or cauliflower or anything.
Right.
But we have assigned specific sounds to specific words.
Well, I find it fascinating. So at Christian Alliance, if you're ordained or licensed, you are clergy.
Okay.
So we have clergy on our shirts.
Yes.
Right here. And it means that someone is recognized for study, for recommendations, for the laying on of hands, that you are not just saying I'm a minister, but that I've gone through a process. Now, why is clergy, why does it mean something, is what you're really saying.
Well, and what we're trying to say is that words are not the thing.
Words, okay.
Words are the symbol of the thing.
Ah, so clergy, we understand it symbolically of something else.
Right, the sound is just a sound.
Gotcha.
But we pour all kinds of meaning into the sound, and so the sound becomes a symbol of something else. It's sort of like I have a wedding ring.
Right.
Okay, this is a symbol of my wedding. This is not my wedding.
Right.
This is not my relationship. It's just a piece of steel.
Right.
But it's symbolic of something else. Or when you see a stop sign. A stop sign is just a piece of metal with something on it, painted something.
But we all interpret it as something. So what's really important about this is that different people can interpret things differently. So
right.
Even one word can be interpreted by someone as one thing, but someone else reads all kinds of other meaning into it. So the Bible is translated into all these different languages. One of them is English.
Right.
But what's behind this English word is maybe a Hebrew word.
Right.
Or a Greek word.
Right.
So then when you go to the Hebrew word, well, how did they use that word? And it has more complexity to it than maybe our English word.
Right. You know, it makes me think, Steve, about, like, language itself. Like the Tower of Babel. Like, when you are so united in language, God saw that it was not good for humanity. So he, like, changes the language. He,
right.
you know, confuses the
right.
language into groups.
Right.
And we still have that today.
Yes. But then when at Pentecost,
yes.
there was the gathering of all the nations, and all of a sudden they could understand the disciples. It was sort of like the
Babylon.
Yeah, they were using unity to walk away from God
right.
or to become like God. And then in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, with the releasing of the Holy Spirit, the goal of the Holy Spirit being released to us is, again, to bring us together. Words. So in other words, words can separate us.
Yes.
And words can bring us together, depending.
The phonemes.
Yes.
Can actually
yes.
bring us together
so
through the power of the Holy
why
Spirit.
Why is this important? It's important yeah. because communication can help you, but miscommunication can not help you. And so as you're studying and learning to, you know, to really listen to the context of what someone is saying rather than just hearing someone and then assuming something, in other words, it takes work to understand the meaning of some word that someone else has said.
Right. So this brings us back to our first verses from John and, you know, that in the beginning was the Word. We're back to that place of words.
Right. And how even our reading of the Holy Spirit, or the Bible, becomes meaningless unless we have the Holy Spirit helping us understand exactly what
so,
it is.
So there can be one word, but the power of the Holy Spirit helps us understand words from
right.
the heavenly perspective.
Right.
That is pretty cool.
So number two, words are often grouped under fields of study, trades, careers, hobbies, sports, cultures.
Hold it. So we have words, but it's just not one word fits all situations. There are actually different groups of
yes.
groups of words
right.
that describe necessary things within groups of study or hobbies, trades,
right,
careers.
Right. So every area has its own little, we call them buzzwords.
Right.
That,
yeah.
you know, when the lawyers talk, most of us have no idea what they're talking about.
Right.
But they do, and
right.
the words that they use help them parse and find, you know, little differences between things in order to figure things out in that world.
Right.
Or a trades guy, you know.
Oh, my dad. My dad was a good example.
Right.
So, my dad, tractor mechanic. My whole childhood, he'd be fixing tractors, fixing cars, fixing stuff, and he would have me hold the flashlight. So, and then he would, like, talk about these terms. I had no idea.
Right.
It was like I was in an academic institution
right.
for mechanics.
Right. Right. And so, what's important about this is, you know, Henry and I have gone through the academic world.
Right.
You know, we went to college, we went to seminary, all these things. We're doing an online seminary school right here. So
college,
we're into
yeah.
this whole yeah. academic world all our lives. We're used to the Christian buzzwords, the you know specific words that mean that.
The trade
but,
language.
But then if we go to a trade world, plumbing
right.
or carpentry or something, then we are as unknowledgeable as anybody. And
right.
we feel out of it. We feel like we have no idea what's going on.
We want to get into the getting started class of this to understand yeah. what they're even talking
right.
about here.
And we feel insecure, and we feel like maybe we'll never get it. Just
right.
like
we don't
some
feel
of
smart.
You.
We feel you know, so stupid.
Right. Just like some of you may feel as you start taking these classes.
Right.
But it has nothing to do with whether someone is smart or not smart.
Right.
It just has to do whether someone has experienced it enough.
Right.
Anyone can learn any of these words. I mean, that's like sports. But really, all these categories all have their terms.
Yes.
Many of you know sports glossary. If you're into football or soccer or baseball.
Offsides. And, you know, and
bring my wife to a certain game where she has no idea. They were offsides.
Right, right.
Who was offsides?
Right. And offsides in football is way different than offsides in soccer. Soccer, it's where the ball is.
Right.
In football, there's a line.
Right.
You know, so if you understand offsides in football, you're not going to understand offsides in soccer. It's a totally different thing. And then hockey is a whole different offside.
Right.
They all have their own little thing.
So it's like a game. Every thing has a game. So a trait of a certain game.
Yes.
My father made a game out of the use of his words.
Right.
And in fact, it was a story. He used his terms, you know, when he accomplished something, fix.
Right.
You know, like broke. I mean, when I think it's broke, he thought broke different than I thought broke.
Right. And all these specialized words help in that specific area.
Right.
So, for example, Eskimos up north, they live in the frozen tundra.
Yeah.
They have like 15 different words for snow.
Right.
We have like three. There's snow, there's slush, there's rain, there's sleet, and that's enough.
Right.
Why? Because we don't need to know all the various levels of snow because we don't deal with it. We just put a coat on, get in our car, and go.
Right.
Whereas people that are living in that kind of world, it's really important to have more distinctions related to this topic. Mm-hmm. So for them, they have way more words because it's useful. And I guess that's the point.
Yeah.
The words that you learn, and at first it's always hard because you don't know what it is.
Right.
And it seems strange. The words I now know, I accept all of those. But when it's a new word, it's like, I have no idea how to use it. So, Henry, a few years ago, you came up with a new word somewhere, you're playing a game, and you find the word glows.
Glows, yeah.
Okay, so I'd never heard of the word glows.
Right.
So what does glows mean?
Glows means to make an excuse to blame someone else.
Now, you could just say that.
Right.
Stop Another making excuses.
Glows.
Right? But instead, now you have a new word.
A verb.
And we challenge you to use it.
Yes.
You know, so I was playing pickleball some months ago, and someone was saying, you know, they missed the shot because the wind was blowing or something.
Right.
The ball was cracked or something. And I said, oh, I see, so you're glozing.
Right.
He said, what? And I said, I see you're glozing.
Right.
He said, well, what does glozing mean? It means to make an excuse.
Right.
Oh, okay. So for the rest of that time of playing, we started using the word glows.
Right.
And you know what? A year later, I just got a message from him, and we're talking about something, and he said, oh, is that glozing? And so what it does is it brings attention to something that you wouldn't have had attention to.
Right.
Somehow, all of a sudden, now with this new word, I'm less likely to make an excuse.
Right.
Because someone's going to call me out for glozing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And because it's a verb, you can go glows, glows, glozing. You could say no glows zone.
Right.
I mean, you could start working. And so
think
about doing a sermon. You could actually have a sermon, no glow zone.
Right.
You know, and then...
And people will remember that.
Yes.
If you had just had a sermon on... stop making excuses and take responsibility. It'd be a good sermon, but a year later, no one remembers it.
Right. Now, this is a new word, and I'll give you a little hint. It might be on the quiz.
Right. Okay. So, number three. The more words you know, the more you'll be able to think, engage in conversation, and understand complex concepts, ideas, and points of view.
So say that again.
The more words you know,
no.
The more you'll be able to think. You just think about that, you know, before we learned words, we couldn't think about stuff. We couldn't think about past. We couldn't think about present. We couldn't think about future. We had no way of even thinking about that.
Right.
We couldn't think about concepts like democracy or capitalism or socialism
or philosophy.
Any philosophic thing. You wouldn't be able to think about those things without words.
Right.
And the more words you know, the more you can more deeply get in. For example, I didn't know much about cars and how cars work,
right.
And my son got into it. I didn't know what an alternator did or how it did that or
right.
the distributor cap. And,
right.
and so as he's explaining all these things, all of a sudden my view of what a car is and the complexity of it and the incredible invention
right.
that it was and
right.
what like people like Henry Ford did.
Right.
And then it opens up my whole world to how complex everything is, right? I didn't know anything about that. And now the whole world opens up because I know more words.
Right, right, right.
I can think about these things.
Right.
It's sort of like music. You remember mm-hmm. Henry when, and I remember we were driving somewhere. We were driving
Rockford.
to Rockford, your brother's house.
Yeah.
And
25 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you were asking about music, and you said, "I'm not sure what harmony is."
Right. Yeah.
Right. And I hear it, I like it,
right.
but I don't know what it is.
Right.
So then I started explaining that harmony is just another melody. You
right.
have the melody, but then you sing an alternative melody,
right.
and somehow it goes together, and then we started singing together, and all of a sudden is like it was like all of a sudden
the lights went on.
Yes.
I get it.
Yes. And so what? Well, what happens is the more people understand about what music is,
right.
the more when they worship, the richer it becomes. It
right.
becomes this, oh, I see. You know, and for example, when you hear a choir sing,
mm-hmm.
the reason why it sounds like a choir is because everyone's a little bit off.
Oh, okay.
If everyone was singing a perfect pitch, it would just sound like one really loud voice. But because everyone's slightly off, it sounds like this
powerful.
It's called a chorus effect.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so what? But the more you understand about music, the more when you're singing at church and people are singing harmony, they're singing something different with me, but it somehow makes it bigger and richer. Isn't that a metaphor for who we are? We're the body
right,
of Christ,
right.
and we're all different, and our differences make something bigger and richer, and so understanding more of it makes it a bigger thing. And that's the same thing with words.
Hmm.
The more words you understand, the richer. So in theology, understanding what justification,
yeah.
sanctification, what these words mean, make your understanding of God and what He's doing richer.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people say, I don't need ministry training. I just, you know, I'm just going out there and help people. But what we're hearing today is that there is more to it than just, I'm going to do it. There's actually to get deep into it, to be credible, to be have confidence in doing it. Words are important, and to learn the jargon, which
yes.
you will learn in ministry
yes.
training, helps you
yes.
understand the will of God, helps you understand the Bible better, helps you understand God's creation better.
And how to communicate it. For example, if you want to talk to Eskimos about snow, if you learned their 18 words for snow,
right.
you'd be way more credible, you'd have more to say, you could use more metaphors to speak into their lives than if you just say, you know what, I'm not studying anything about you and I'm just going to go with what I think.
Right.
And that's what we tend to do. We tend to paint a picture mm. from our own perspective,
right.
not realizing that there's huge perspectives. There's way more to understand about something.
Right. You know, one of the things that we like to do is we're curious about a lot of subjects.
Right.
And in evangelism, that curiosity of other
yes.
subjects is very important. So if you learned about alternator and carburetors,
right.
you're talking to someone who's in that world.
Yes.
And then, but you also know the ministry world
yes.
and how, what's the metaphor there,
yes.
what's the assembly there, how
right.
an illustration works.
Right.
And next thing you know, you say, you know, we are like engines.
Yes.
Okay. And then
right.
you have to say, you know, we,
yes.
you know,
yes.
somehow we need to fire up. You know, there's
yes.
we need gasoline, we need fuel.
Yes.
And you're talking to someone who this is their
right.
world, and you're a minister who actually loves them enough or takes interest in what they're taking interest in. That's powerful
yes.
communication
that's
in ministry.
That's what Paul said. I've become all things to all people. So
okay.
by all possible means I might save some. So he knew how to speak to the Gentiles. He knew how to speak to the Jews. He understood their background. He
right.
understood the words that they needed to hear. You know, when he's in Athens, he sees the statues. He had, you know, I see that you're really religious people. He's speaking their language.
So he probably studied comparative religions like we offer here at Christian
Institute
and college. And
so bottom line is all the courses that you're going to take are just enriching your ability to communicate with others.
Right.
And will enrich your understanding of God, of the church, family, society, God's will for your life. All these things are going to be enriched by every single class that you take.
So a couple things just to ask as we close. What if I feel like I don't know anything about ministry? And, you know, minister, what? That's overwhelming. And can I get there?
Yes. You know, number one, you have to get rid of the notion that you're not smart enough.
Okay. I've disqualified myself many times?
People disqualify themselves, and it has more to do with experience than with anything to do with smarts.
Okay.
So, for example, I spent a summer in Nicaragua.
Okay.
And we got dropped off in some little village. And we were told by the missionaries, do not use English because you'll make those people feel bad. Because they'll end up, you'll look superior. Don't look superior to them.
Right.
Okay. So I was there for a month. I didn't speak the language like they could.
Right.
I couldn't carry 10 gallons of water on my head like they could.
Right.
The one guy that we ate with, he had an axe and he would chop roots. And so he handed me the axe, and you had to hit the exact same spot like four times to make any progress. I could not do that. I lived on a farm at that time where we milked cows, so he invited me to milk his cow at 5 a.m. But it was by hand. I mean, I know how to do it, but after like 2 minutes, my hands are like cramping up. There was nothing that I could do better than him. Okay? So what's my point? Now, did I have more schooling? Did I know the Bible more? I was superior to him in the academic world like nobody's business.
Right.
But in the world that he lived in, that he experienced, that he was like... So it has nothing to do with how smart you are. It's just about being exposed.
Right.
And so you may feel like right now you're like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. It's just about exposure.
Right.
It's just taking the classes. And yeah, in the beginning you might be struggling. I guarantee you, if you just keep going, you will succeed. And all of a sudden you'll be one of those people that you think is smart right now.
Right. Now, another danger of learning academic jargon is now you start throwing it at the people you know. I mean, I made that mistake. I remember when I was at seminary and I'd come home with a new word and you know, meet Pam, my young wife, we're young, and then all of a sudden I learned something, so I throw it out here and my wife looks up like, so are you better than me? You know, again, I never felt that way, but so that's the other danger of learning all this.
Right.
Like now all of a sudden you look like you're better than someone else, but really you're not.
Right.
You're a minister.
Right. So sometimes learning all these words helps you understand God's word better, but that doesn't mean you need to use all those fancy words, but it does help you. I mean, another skill is to take all the complex and make it simple.
Right. And to contextualize it to your audience.
Right.
If ministry means anything, if to be a minister means anything, is to minister Jesus Christ to the audience that you're sharing your learning with.
Right. So if you feel intimidated right now, if you feel like, I don't know if I can do that, you are actually in the best seat.
Right.
Because hopefully as you learn stuff, you will remember what it's like to not know these words and to feel like you'll never get it. Because now as you talk to people with your newfound knowledge, you'll be very sensitive as to how do I communicate this complex thing in a simple way?
Right.
And that really
is the
you know that's like the runner's high.
Yeah, really think about it. To minister is to know something at a deep level, and to walk. You know, Jesus came and he talks to disciples, and when he shared parables, you know, he didn't use Pharisee buzzwords.
Yeah.
You know, he just on a hill,
simple
seeds, all of this, and this is the Son of God who has been with the Father, and he didn't tell us, you know, there's metaphysical multiverses up there by which, you know, what does he say? I have other sheep.
Right.
You know, he talks in ways that we understand. So as you learn all of this new terminology, it's still only to be a minister, to serve others.
So we started last session with that verse in John about the Word of God.
Yeah.
The Word is God, and then the Word became flesh. So the complex Word of God became simple in a person that we could see, a person that spoke, a person that walked to us.
Take
so in some ways,
believe.
God does that same thing. Yeah. He, and God is infinite, but what did he do? He made it simple.
Yeah.
He came as a child. He lived among us.
Yeah.
He taught us.
Yeah.
We have the words today. So God, in this in sense, has come down to, he takes the complex and he speaks it to us in a way that we can understand it.
Right.
And that's what a minister is.
Yeah.
Someone who understands the complex,
right,
but can make it simple.
Yeah. He bore our sins. He walked with us.
Right.
You know, he stooped down to make us great.
Right. Right.
I mean, so, here you go. You never realize that the power of words, I mean, it actually become flesh.
Yes.
And you become the incarnation, the flesh of these words by the life you live.
Yes.
By all the words change your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the essence of minister.
Yes.
And you are on board now for a journey that will change your life. It will change lives around you. Praise God, and we are so super excited about continuing in preparing you for vital and fruitful ministry training.
Amen.